All right, open up your Bibles to Matthew.
I think I have that a little bit too loud. Chapter number 20, Matthew chapter number 20. Hey, one thing, the weather was really nice today. It was nice to have cool weather. Just got a lot of work to do on the house now. Now that it's getting cool. As long as it just stops raining for a few days. All right, we're going to start here in verse number 20. We're going to start reading. Then came to his mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worship him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these two my sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the one on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup and that I shall drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard of it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. And it shall be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. All right, let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We just thank you for your love and grace and mercy and everything you do for us. I ask you just help me this evening with this message. We just ask you this is what you want me to preach. We ask you just give me the words to speak. You use me. This message goes nowhere without you. And we just ask you just bless it. And we just ask you just be with our pastor as he's away. And ask you if he's preaching, give him some of your power to preach tonight. And we just we love and thank you for everything you do for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Reading this passage, what kind of stuck out to me was some qualities that Christ had as a leader, as leadership. James and John, they were requesting to be in a powerful position, the position on Jesus' left hand and right hand. They're requesting to be in a position of power or a position of leadership. They wanted to be in that position. For whatever reason, though, Jesus had to tell them what would be asked of them. But Jesus tells them about being a leader and having dominion over people. In verse 25, it says, And exercise dominion over them, and they that are great authority upon them. So he's talking about having dominion, you know, because they're wanting to be in a position of power, a position of leadership. So what the world wants you to do is think, if you really have to be in a power position or a power leadership, they want you to think you have to have money, you have to have the power, you have to be a CEO of some big company, you have to be, you know, have lots of money, you have to be in that position of power, that, you know, having prestige or money or fame, being someone in Hollywood or something like that. That they think that's being a leader. But them aren't leaders. Them aren't anything you should consider a leader. Yeah. Henry Ford said, you don't have to hold a position in order to be a leader. That's right. You don't have to be in a certain position. You don't have to be the pastor of the church. You don't have to be the song leader of the church. You don't have to be a deacon at a church. You don't have to be the CEO of some company. You don't have to be some famous Hollywood or singer. You don't have to be any of that to be a leader. Amen. But that's what the world wants you to believe. is that's what is considered to be a leader. It's someone in the position of a power that can influence people. You know, like Brother Andrew preached a message a couple weeks ago on being an influencer. But being a leader is more about action and setting an example. Taking action and setting an example. If we look here, the first thing we see is in verse number 22. He says, Jesus said, "You know not that ye ask, are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptism." So the first thing in quality of leadership to me is you got to be willing to do what other people do. Jesus was going to have to drink of the bitter cup. They're going to have to be able to do the same thing he did. If I want to be a leader, if I want to show somebody what I'm all about or have action and set an example, I want to be willing to do what any of the other people have to do. So, like, if I'm, you know, a manager of a company and I have to have my employees scrub the toilet, I got to be willing to scrub the toilet part too. I mean, that's usually, you know, a lot of times managers, well, not so much now, you know, sometimes they work up and that's where they started. Yeah, about people all the time. They start off in the bell room and they work their way up. And they're still willing to go and scrub toilets and do the low man's job, even though they're at the higher position. You got to be willing to put yourself in that lower position and be able to do that job. Any manager should know how to do every single job of that company. That's what made them the job. So they should be able to do that. And that's the same thing Jesus. He's just telling them that they should be able to do what I'm supposed to do. It might not be an easy job. It might be a hard job, but they should be able to know. They should be able to follow by an example and know and be set to do whatever your followers do or whatever is asked of you. You know, being a leader, you always say your best ability for God is your availability. That's the same thing. You got to be set to be able to do whatever God calls you to do. You got to be available. You got to be willing to do it all. Do anything that God tells you to do. First, you want to be a leader, you got to be willing to drink of the cup. You got to be willing to follow and do what, as a leader, what your followers do or what you are called to do. Second, we see you got to be willing to surrender. All right, if we look here at verse number 23, it is at the very end of verse 23, it says, "It is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." So you got to be willing to surrender everything to God. You got to be willing to surrender it all and just wave the white flag. Just tell them, you know, all these decisions are your decisions. They're not my decisions anymore. You know, like I think Brother Peoples talking about at our camp meeting, he had bills piling up and stuff, and he said, "They're not mine anymore, they're his." And at a certain point, you got to be able to do that. Surrender it all, tell them they're his, your decisions, they're not my decisions. And talk to him about them decisions, fully surrender those decisions to him. And it'll make you a quality. Those decisions are going to become easier, they're going to become better, and you're going to make better decisions when you're talking to him, and when you're fully surrendering them decisions to him, you fully surrender your life to God, then that right there is going to give you wisdom. If you're in this Bible, it's going to give you wisdom, but you got to fully surrender your life to in every aspect. In every aspect, you got to fully surrender, and that's what he's saying here. It's not his decision. It's God's decision. It's the Father's decision. That's one thing Jesus did. He always obeyed the Father. He always surrendered everything to the Father. That you know, Christ is our example, and these are things we should be following. You know, as a leader, it's setting an example in your workplace. Which, you know, I work from home now, so I don't really have anybody but setting an example for my kids. Amen. But, you know, I randomly talk to people on the phone maybe two or three times a week, and that's about it. But anyway, but if I was in the workplace, I got to set an example. I got to, and that example is fully surrendering my life to Christ and them knowing that I've done that and them representing myself that way. And then, but third, and this is one of the most important ones, is in verse number 27. It says, "And whoever so will be chief among you, let him be your servant." If you want to be in any, if you want to be a leader, if you want to set an example for anything, if you want to take action, it starts with being a servant. We're a servant to Christ. We're a servant, and he came down and put his place in the servant's place, and we should be able to do the same. He came down and he was the ultimate servant. He came down and paid his price, paid the penalty of sin for us. You know, we always want to think, the world wants to build us up and puff us up and pull us full of pride and to think we're something, but the way we're going to succeed is being a servant. It's the opposite of what the world's going to tell you. The world's going to pull you up in pride, tell you you got to be somebody, you got to be famous, you got to make a lot of money, you got to be CEO of a company, or you know, some kind of manager or boss. But no, you just need to be a servant. That's all you got to be, is a servant. It's simple right here. He says, if you want to be a chief, if you want to be a leader, you just need to be a servant. And you got to think, well, what in what times and what am I supposed to be a leader? Well, first, when we're being a leader, is with the family. All right, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. And we're going to look at verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore is the church subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So right here, this is the hierarchy of a family. You got Christ, the husband, the wife, the kids, you know, go on the goldfish and the dogs and pets and all that stuff. Well, anyway, first is Christ. We know Christ sent himself to die for us. So he was the ultimate servant. And as a husband, we should be able to do the same thing. We should be able to willing to go set ourselves down for our wives and our kids and lay down our life for our kids. But also, we're the servant. You know, as a husband, we're the leader of the family, so we're the servant of that family. We got to provide for that family. We're to answer for that family. We got to take on a role as a servant for our family, as a husband. And the same thing, you go on down the line as the wives, you're a servant to those kids. You got to provide meals for those kids. You got to help them with school and, you know, make a good home, provide a home for them kids. You're serving them kids by doing that. Of course, they're still the order, but you're still the servant. You're still serving them in a way. You're still providing for them. You're still becoming that servant. And you, the same thing, you would lay down your life for your kids. I know every mom in here would do that. And you got to think, another thing is the family, Christ done it, the family, we're supposed to leave our family that way, you know, as a servant. And just live our life that way as a servant. But the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put self aside. You can't be willing to be self-serving to yourself. You can't be all about yourself. And, you know, there's some people now, of course, there's, you know, young kids and stuff, they don't ever grow up. I know my brother's one of them. They don't ever grow up. He's got a kid on the way. I don't know if he'll ever really put himself above that kid or that family. I don't think he'll ever, you know, put that family above him, you know, because he's still immature. He still, you know, spends money on like razors and four-wheelers and all that stuff when he's got a kid on the way and doesn't even have a house. He's living with his parents or whatever. And anyway, it comes a point in your life where, when you get a family, you're going to have to be that way. You're going to have to put yourself aside. You're going to have to not buy that new gun or not buy that that new truck in order to provide food for your family, to be able to provide income for your family, to support your family. And that's part of what a being servant is you got to put yourself aside. You got to put yourself in that position of a servant. But Another thing is we have a lot of self-serving preachers nowadays. A lot of self-serving preachers in the pulpits that want to, you know, that uses Christ as almost like a marketing scheme instead of what he really is, his salvation. They want to use him as a marketing scheme, a money maker, you know, just get people in, give them a tutti-frutti message and to build them up and fill them full of pride and then, you know, cash that check. You know, like you got these big preachers, these mega churches that, you know, got drive up in the car lot for $40,000 cars, and you got the people out there with their 1990 Honda Civics that's still running with 400,000 miles on it. I mean, they're not in the position to be a servant. They're not even feeding their people. Our pastor feeds us every Sunday. You think about, you know, they say our preacher preaches hard. He preaches that way because he loves us. He preaches that way because he wants, you know, he wants to see change. He wants us to grow. You're not going to grow at one of them churches down the road. You're never going to grow at a church that doesn't ever preach out of the right book and the right gospel. You know, them other Bibles will lead you to salvation, but you'll never grow in them other Bibles. And you'll never grow in them other churches. Amen. God's called you to the right church. Amen. To where you're going to be, and you're a servant for that church. Right. And God's called you that church, and you're a servant for that church, and you're a servant for your pastor, you're a servant for, and that's the same thing. Our pastor is a servant for us. He gets up here, I don't think he'd be, getting up here early on Wednesdays and Sundays to study just to do it. I mean, if he wasn't serving us and thought he was going to help us, he would be at home on Sundays watching football or, you know, working on his yard or something like that, or his house or something like that. He wouldn't be, you know, traveling to somewhere, Ohio or Arkansas or Florida or something like that, trying to help other people if he felt like he wasn't serving anybody. He's a servant. You know, he's a servant for the Lord, and he's a servant for the people. He's a servant for us. And he's put himself in that position because he loves us and he wants to help us. But that's not what you have nowadays. You have these self-serving pastors out there, and they have an abuse of power. You know, Spurgeon said, "A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining goats." And that's what we have. That's what we have, is clowns entertaining goats. That's what we have nowadays in these pulpits. And it all started right here with what Jesus said, is finding that leadership, you know, the qualities of a leadership. And, you know, just because we're not the pastor or a position of power or position anywhere, we don't have like a position. We're a servant. We're a servant for Christ, and we're a servant for somebody. Everywhere we're a servant, and we're for somebody, so it makes us a leader for somebody. And a leadership is very important in terms of just setting an example for the world out there. And he set that example. And we should follow that example of being a leader, in that terms, being a servant. All right. So, and it said 28. He gave his life a ransom for many. So he put himself in that ultimate servant position, and we should be able to put ourselves in that ultimate servant position to be a leader. Amen. I'll give it back to you. All right, close it out in prayer. All right. Lord Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you for everything you do for us. We thank you for love and grace and mercy. We thank you for the kids in Truth Club. We ask you just bless them, be with Sister Beth and Sister Sarah, and we just continue to be with our pastor, be with church this Sunday. Ask you just be with the mission conference coming up, and we just love and thank you in your precious name we pray. Amen.